bulletin. I apologize to you. Apparently, we've got the bulletin wrong 2 weeks in a row. So accept my apologies for that. If you've got a Bible handy, we're going to be in the book of Joshua, chapter 5, verses 10 to 12. And it reads like this. While the people of Israel were encamped at Gilgal, they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month in the evening on the plain of Jericho. And the day after Passover, on that very day, they ate the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. And the manna ceased the day after they ate of the produce of the land, and there was no longer manna for the people of Israel, but they ate of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word this hour. There's a song that I really like. I've sung it in the church, and I think I sang it once out here. It's a Gaither song, and it has a line in it that goes like this. Going together, enjoying the trip, getting used to the family I'll spend eternity with. Learning to love you, how easy it is, getting used to the family of God. I just love that song, and it's the way I see the church, that we are not just a building and blocks, but we are a family, and we need to love each other with all of our warts and all of our imperfections. We needed to learn to love each other the way that Christ loves us. All that to say to you that I had planned a vacation to Myrtle Beach. And Janice and I were going to go down there and spend a week at Myrtle, and then my sister-in-law died, and that call of family sent me to Florida, so I had to extend, which is why I was gone longer than I originally planned. You didn't know that, but I know that. And we went down to Florida, and we visited with my brother, went to the service, visited with my extended family down there, and then went on our vacation to Myrtle Beach. But in that process, we had to make a decision. And that decision involved Bo the Wonder Dog. Bo was going to go to a kennel for a week, and he's never done that. It's a kennel that I've used in years gone by, very capable and qualified people. And Bo would have had his own indoor little place, as well as an outdoor run about 20 yards long. So we were comfortable with that. But when it came to the place that we were going to be gone, you know, for about 11 days, we kind of felt like that was too long for Bo the Wonder Dog. And my lovely wife suggested that perhaps because we are in a camper now, it might be okay for him to go with us. And he went with us. I would say to you that he is the best traveler that I have ever seen. He did wonderfully. Aside from wanting her seat from time to time, we had absolutely no problem at all. But I have a video that you may have seen if you're on Facebook, but I'm going to show it here. And it's of Bo the Wonder Dog at the beach. It is Bo's Beach Adventure. And what I want you to see, it's actually just two films, two clips. It lasts less than a minute. But the second one, when you see him, the second half of this clip, it's our second trip to the beach. I wish I would have filmed his first moments because you would have loved it. But it's the second trip, and I want you to watch what he does. I want you to watch what he does on the second clip. Here comes the second clip right here. Watch what he does. He just took off for the ocean. I mean, from his first taste of the beach, if we were getting ready to go at all, because we didn't take him every day. In fact, we only took him down there three times. But when we were getting ready, he thought he needed to go with us. It was his time to go. And so I thought I'd share that with you. But now I want to share just a little bit more, and then we'll get into the message. We get home. We have traveled over 2,400 miles in 11 days. You know, that thing about after a few days, fish starts to smell, that kind of thing. But we get home. He gets out. We begin to unpack our things. And I stepped up into that camper, and he's sitting at the door. And I said, "Bombo, you come in here." He wasn't getting in again. He said, "You got me on that once, 2,400 miles. You go by yourself. I am not going with you." Well, I want you to think for a minute about what the scripture that we read this morning was about. The people are on the plain of Gilgal. Just to fill in the context here, they have left Egypt, and they are traveling to the promised land. And they find themselves in the plain of Gilgal, and they find themselves 40 years from having left Egypt, and they're at the doorstep to God's promise for them. There's a new leader. Moses is now dead. Joshua is leading the people. And they're at the edge of their destination, and they stop. And they stop to celebrate Passover. Now remember what Passover was. It was something that was given to Moses back in Exodus chapters 12 to 14. I usually read that every Easter, but in any event, it's something that was to be kept the 14th day of every month. They had not kept this the whole time that they were traveling. And so as they stopped just before they entered into the promised land, they stopped and remembered what God had told them. For 7 days you're to eat unleavened bread, and on the first day you'll take the leaven out of your houses. If anyone eats what's leavened from the first to the seventh, that person will be cut off from Israel. And so for these days, during Passover, they ate the produce of the land, but they did not eat much of what they normally would have. And after they sat down and ate, something happened. Something happened. If you listen close to the scripture, the manna stopped falling. Now you got to ask yourself the question, what's that about? That's the bread from heaven, remember? They're traveling. And they don't have fast food shops. They don't have the ability to pull in and to get something at the local market. And so as they're headed to this promised land that's fabled or said to have been a land of milk and honey, they are utterly and totally dependent upon God for bread from heaven called manna. In fact, for much of their trip, they were dependent upon God for the very water they drank. And here they are on the edge of the land of milk and honey, and the manna stops. I've already told you that, and the reason they're out there is in response to leaving Egypt. You will recall that God had called Moses to lead them. You'll remember the story, even if you only saw it on TV. The Nile turned to blood, the frogs, the plagues, all of those things that sent them off on their journey. And in Exodus 12, God brings to pass the Passover. The firstborn in all of Egypt died if the blood of the lamb was not placed over their doorpost. And it was this means, these 10 plagues and this blood over the doorpost, and God's choice to pass over the homes of the Hebrew children when the blood was placed over the doorpost, that brought them the commemoration or the remembrance of Passover. Joshua sees the significance of what's happening. Joshua sees that God is fulfilling his promise at the promised land. He's preparing the people to not only remember that he set them free, but he's bringing them to what's new. This is a significant moment in Israel's history. Imagine wander, if you would, for 40 years in the desert. Imagine a 14-day trip turning into a 40-year affair. It had taken far too long. And God wanted Israel not to forget. Not to forget what he had done for them. You'll recall that something else happened here. A generation had been born. And the mark of God's people was circumcision. And the generation that was born had not been circumcised. If you go back and read in Joshua 5, verses 4 to 5, the circumcision of Israel occurs for everyone before they go into the promised land. They're keeping their covenant with God, the covenant that stated, I will be your God and you will be my people. And the mark of that special relationship for the males was found in their circumcision. What had taken place, what had not taken place for 40 years, is now taking place. So here they are on the plain of Jericho, having crossed the Jericho River, and they're technically on the edge of receiving God's promise. And they were forgetting, listen to me close, they were forgetting, finally, what they had left behind. For Israel, what they needed to remember was God, Passover. For the children of Israel, for the Hebrew children, what they needed to forget were the years of bondage. In spite of the fact that five times God speaks to Israel and says to them, you will remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord God delivered you. The part they were to remember was not the slavery part. It was that God had delivered them. That God had carried them out. You know, when I was a kid, one of the most embarrassing things for me was that I was in speech classes. I don't know if you ever had to take speech classes, but I had to take speech classes. I couldn't say much of anything. And as a kid, when you were drawn out of the class in front of the rest of your classmates and taken to another room, and you've got to sit there for a half hour, 45 minutes every day, or whatever number of days it was, it becomes an embarrassing thing. You're the kid that can't talk. I did that all the way through eighth grade. I mean, I think I started in third. I had a lot of issues. Some of you wish I'd never taken the class, right? But anyway, Israel was to forget. Put the negativity back. Don't forget it in the sense that you just blind it from your head. But what you really need to remember is that God got you out of that. But Israel forgot more than they should have. You see, at somewhere in that trip, they'd forgotten that they were slaves. They'd forgotten that they were redeemed. They'd forgotten that they were God's children. And so here at the edge of the promised land, they're circumcised. The way we know that they forgot who they were is by what they said shortly after they left Egypt. Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in Egypt, because there we sat by meat pots and ate bread. We filled our bellies to the full. And now, Moses, you've brought us out to this wilderness to kill us, in fact, to kill this whole assembly with hunger. You see, God's response to that was manna, bread from heaven. Bread that fell from the sky. They'd wake up in the morning and there it'd be on the ground like the dew. They'd go out and gather all they needed. They wouldn't take any more than they needed, because if they did, it'd rot. But the next day, God would show up again and there would be that manna. Just like he had set them free in Egypt, there would be that manna time and time and time again. When they said, oh, that we would be able to go back to Egypt and eat the cucumbers and the leeks and the onions and the melons, God answered that with bread from heaven. And when they saw that bread from heaven, when they saw that bread fall on the ground, what they probably should have remembered was not that the manna became repetitive, was not that the manna became boring, but was rather that God had set them free and was meeting their every need. You know what the Israelites' biggest misunderstanding was? No matter if the pots ran dry, if the bread didn't fall, if the Egyptians chased them and captured them, no matter what, God loved them. I think that's really what they forgot. You know, friends, sometimes God will take you on a journey. God will take you on a journey where you have to really lean hard into your faith and trust God. For Israel, it was 40 years. For Israel, for the children, the Hebrew children, it was a generation that died off. But even while that was taking place, the manna falls to the ground. The manna falls to the ground. The manna falls to the ground. For some reason, it seems to me that the children of Israel took for granted God's deliverance, God's parting the Red Sea, God's manna that fell from the sky, because they rebelled against God. Oh, that we could just go back to Egypt. And you know that generation that did that died off in the desert. I want to stop and encourage you to understand something in that death of those people that died off out there in the wilderness. Their life became their purpose. Survival became their purpose. Oh, we don't know where the next meal is going to come from. Oh, we don't know what we're going to do. There's a river. Oh, we don't know what we're going to do next. And God kept answering that question. But they kept forgetting that he'd done it before time and again. Have you ever taken something for granted? Have you ever taken somebody for granted? Yesterday, we're busy with having come home, and Janice said to me, would you go to the store and pick up? And it was one thing she needed. One thing she needed. And I got in my truck, and I jumped in it, and I drove to the grocery store, and I pulled into the parking lot, and I walked in the front door. What was it? What was it? I walked through that store. I didn't want to admit, you know, that I couldn't remember, but I'm walking through it. I can't figure out what it was I was supposed to get. Finally, I picked up the phone and said, hey, what was it? Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we make our trip with God lose its purpose because we forget why God's put us on the journey. These people forgot that God took them out of Egypt. They forgot that God gave them purpose in their travels. They forgot that God was leading to something that was bigger than themselves. And they allowed God's abundance to be overlooked, to be forgotten. And the manna, the deliverance, the Red Sea parting, all those things, they actually became casualties. Their faith actually became casualty of those blessings. I want you to stop and really think about it. These people, before they died in the desert, had seen the water turned into blood. They'd seen the frogs. They'd seen the lice. They'd seen wild animals. They'd seen their livestock get diseased. They'd seen boils fall on the people. They'd seen a thunderstorm that included hail and fire. They'd seen locusts, and they had darkness for 3 days and the death of the firstborn. To top it off, God parted the Red Sea. God gave them manna from heaven. But as they traveled for 40 years on their way to the promised land, what they failed to remember was that God's biggest promise and his greatest covenant was about to take place when they got to the very point that this group of people were right at this moment. And because that group forgot it, they died off in the desert. But here is a new group, and Joshua says, hold up! We're going to circumcise and we are going to celebrate Passover. Because God has performed miracles around amongst us. We've watched our families trip over those miracles. And we can't let that happen again. Do you ever think about the fact that you're breathing right now is a miracle? Do you know if the mixture of our air was any different, we probably wouldn't be able to breathe? You know, if we were just a little bit closer to the sun, we'd all cook and be gone. A little bit further away, we'd freeze to death. Did you ever think about the miracle that you and I are just sitting here this very morning? And I'll bet you anything, nobody thought of that when you came to church today. Because we take it for granted, don't we? I'm going to wake up, I'm going to breathe, I'm going to live, I'm going to do my thing. As those Israelites, the first group, traveled out of Egypt, they headed out on a journey with no purpose because they forgot their destination. They forgot that it was the fulfillment of the promise of God to them. They forgot that it was the promised land. They forgot that when God said, I'll be your God and you'll be my people, this was how he was going to show it to them. They would walk into a land that flowed with milk and honey. They would eat things that they did not grow, and God would bless that land beyond their wildest imaginations. But you see, that journey meant something. God wanted it to mean something. God wanted it to mean something to them. But they began to take God for granted. In the New Testament, Paul the Apostle said this: if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. Friends, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed in his blood. Join heirs with Jesus as I travel this sod, because I'm part of the family of God. Going together, enjoying the trip, getting used to the family we will spend eternity with. Learning to love you. How easy it is getting used to the family of God. Amen? That's how it's supposed to be, church. We got to realize that, yes, we have a destination. We have a vision for our community, and we have a vision for heaven to be ours. But we also have a responsibility here and now to know why God put us on the journey. You know, Jesus said to his disciples, and I've referenced this already this morning, look on the fields, they're white unto harvest. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into that harvest. We got home. Janice has so much more energy than I have. She started cleaning things and the camper and getting things all cleaned out, everything done. And I am laying on the couch in that camper going, I'll be with you in a minute. I'm going to get up any minute now. And when I woke up from that nap, she had her done. And I want you to see what's in that. I not only forgot why I was there, but I took advantage of the trip or the what was going to take place in the there while I was there. Don't forget your purpose. You know, when Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, the Bible says this: he set his face like a rock to go to Jerusalem. I want you to think about that for a minute. A flint. The hardest rock they knew. He set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem. And he knew when he did that what it was for. He was going to get killed. But he loved us so much that he didn't sway from it. Friends, our life has purpose because his life and death gives us purpose. You got that? Because he loves us, we love each other. And we love those around us. It includes you. And it includes everyone. Amen.